Well, good morning, Fairhaven Church. Great to see you today. If we haven't met, my name is David. I'm one of the pastors on staff here. Great to have you here. I want to welcome you along with all the welcomes that you've already had this morning. I want to welcome our Springboro campus to the south, Northmont. Great to have you here with us today. Beaver Creek to the east, Classics, many online, and all of you right here in Centerville. It's really great to have you here today. Thank you so much. It's great to be in worship together, and so I'm thankful that you came here today as we are launching a brand new series, and the series is entitled Every Day Matters, and we hope that you'll take that on over these next 7 weeks as I'll be with you. We're going to be looking at seven mountains that we live our lives on. And ask God to speak into every one of those areas because every day matters. We're going to be talking today about our time. Next week, we're going to be talking about the world, that your life matters, believe it or not, to the world. We often get caught up in our own communities and in our own lives and so forth. But, you know, God gives us a commission, the Great Commission, actually. And he says, your life is important, but not only here, but literally around the world. And so every day matters when it comes to the world. Our workplace. We're going to talk about work, and we're going to look at work, and why did God give us the idea of work, and is that important for us, and how does that matter to us? We're going to look at the workplace, because that's one of the hills that you and I live on. What about relationships? Whether you're married, single, high school, 80 years of age, doesn't matter. We're going to look at relationships, because every day matters in our relationships, and God speaks to us about relationships. We're going to take a look at our resources, that God wants us to do something with our resources every single day, because every day matters in our lives. We're going to talk about our spiritual gifts. We did that last year, actually, and we talked about them. And do you know that every day matters when it comes to your spiritual gifts? God wants to use them no matter what's happening in the course of the day. And then we're going to end up with our spiritual lives, that every day matters in our life and walk with Jesus. So seven mountains that we live on, and we're going to look at every single one of those today. If you have a Bible, I really encourage you to turn with me and mark it, Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians is in the New Testament. If you don't know where that's at, you might just want to look at the table of contents. It's a very short book, six chapters long. Ephesians chapter 5 is going to be the anchor for us over these next 7 weeks. But today, we're going to spend our time in Ephesians chapter 5 as we get launched here talking about time because Paul gives us a game plan. He tells us how to be wise when it comes to our time. I think you'd agree with me that it's amazing when we think about a day, when we think about this moment, what you know and I know is that we have been given today. We don't know about tomorrow. We know we've had a past. And here's the problem in the conversation. See, many of us, our past controls our today. And isn't it awesome to know that if you're a follower of Jesus, as we just sang, we can say goodbye to yesterday because what God does is he separates our past from us and says, I can bring peace and freedom and forgiveness and take care of that guilt in life because all of us have a past, let's just be honest. But the problem is that sometimes past gets brought into the today, and when that happens, then it affects our day, and let's not let that happen. The same is true about our future. How many of you know that our future sometimes brings the worry and robs us today of the joy that we might have? Nothing wrong with planning for tomorrow and planning for our lives and making plans financially and relationally. Nothing wrong with that. The problem is that sometimes anxiety sets in, and all of a sudden the worry about the future comes in today and it robs us. What we're going to be doing in this series is looking at the day, today, because every day, help me out here, all across all of our campuses, every day matters, church. It's really, really important. Ephesians chapter 5 is where we'll be today. Three verses I'm going to read to you, and they're so filled with practical help for you and I in terms of thinking about our time, because as I mentioned, all you have that you know of is today. Now, Ephesians is a small letter, as I mentioned. It's written to a church in Ephesus, Ephesus in modern-day Turkey. A week from tomorrow, we have about 50 people who are traveling to Greece. They're going to be touring through Greece and actually going to Ephesus because they're going to be walking through the book or the latter part of the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 19, it tells us that Paul went to Ephesus. And while he was there, he discovered some really, really amazing things. Let me describe some of it. While he was there, he found out that Ephesus was the epicenter for worship. The problem is it wasn't worship of God, the one true God that you and I worship today. It was worship for Greek gods, Roman gods. It was the worship of all kinds of things. If you go there, which you can do, I've been there, to the ruins of the city of Ephesus. As you're walking down the path that used to be like the main drag, if you will, in Ephesus, at the very end, there's a library. It's about two stories high. It's incredible to look at it, that it's been around for thousands of years. And the library was huge. And part of that was because there was a lot of books and people loved to read and they loved to learn, because the Greeks thought if you learn more, then you can become almost like God. But there was something else about that library that archaeologists have found out, that in that library in the bottom is an under tunnel or a passageway underground to a brothel. So lots of people went to the library apparently. And as a result of that, Paul writes to the Ephesian church, because there was all kinds of problems that were there. And you can imagine what some of those problems were. The first half of the book of Ephesians, if you want to read it, it's not long. Paul is saying that the gospel of Jesus Christ changes everything. That the epic center of our lives is Jesus. That all history comes to a climax because of Jesus. We celebrated that at Easter. It's really, really an important week, obviously, for us. And we also see that in the first couple of chapters of Ephesians, that Paul says that not like nothing else, the church ought to be a multi-ethnic community which brings people together because of Jesus Christ. And then he says in the second half, which we're going to study here today, starting in chapter 5, that because of the gospel, because of Jesus, it ought to impact how we live, because every day matters. And so we're going to take a look at that today and see, because Paul gives us. And so today, if you want to jot it down, we're going to be looking at the fact that every day matters with time. Your time today. How are you spending your time in any given day? What I find interesting about my life, and maybe you can say the same thing about yours, is that Monday through Friday for you probably looks similar in terms of the way you spend your time. And maybe Saturday's a little different, and maybe Sunday's a little different. But as you look at your week and you look at your day in specific, what would it be like if we took a look at that and see what God's word has to say about that, so that we can live every moment? Because not only does every day matter, believe it or not, every moment matters. Let's take a look. Ephesians chapter 5, let me start in verse 15. And if you have your Bibles open, keep them there, because not only am I going to read these three verses here, we're going to underline and highlight, and we're going to come back to it, because we can just unpack this and there's so much here for us. Ephesians chapter 5, jump down to verse 15. Here's what Paul says. Look carefully, because of who Jesus is, and if you call yourself a follower of Jesus, look carefully then how you walk. You might want to circle the word walk, because it means a present tense, right now. Look at the way that you're living your life, the way that you're walking every single moment today. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of time. There it is, time. Making the best use of time, because the days are evil. Paul is actually not referring to the evilness that he sees in Ephesus. We shouldn't say that the evil that we see is because of our culture and things seem to be getting worse and worse. He's actually referring to what the enemy wants to do in destroying you every day. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, or you might want to think about the fact that we should not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Paul gives us a game plan. He tells us right here in these three verses how to use wisdom when it comes to our time every single day. And I'm going to ask you to think about your life as I've been thinking about mine, because Paul is very clear. Let's dive in. Here's the first thing he says. If you want to use wise thinking when it comes to your time, number one, we should ignore lesser priorities. When you think of your life every single day, we need to ignore the lesser priorities. Paul is essentially saying, don't get caught up in doing what doesn't matter. Don't get caught up during the day using your time in what doesn't matter in your life. I want you to look at verse 15, and I'm going to smash it together with verse 17. Because really, this is what Paul is driving at. It says this, look carefully then how you walk and understand what the will of the Lord is. Paul is not saying you and I should understand God's will when it comes to things that we really don't know about. Like, for example, if you're single and you're in your 20s and you're thinking you'd like to get married someday and you're looking for God's will to help you to find a spouse, that's not what Paul is talking about. He's not talking about you discovering God's will in terms of what career you should do or when you should retire or what kind of house you should buy or what neighborhood you live in. He's not talking about searching for God's will in terms of the kind of car you should buy or the way you live out your life. He's specifically talking, catch this, about the will of God that you already know about. How many of you agree with me that there's so much about God's will that we already know? You don't even have to think about it. There's so much about the way we live our lives that we already know what God's will is in terms of the way we live our lives, in terms of the way we operate in relationships, in terms of the way we treat people. I mean, the Bible is very clear that our attitudes and our actions and the way we see our personalities should be very different than that of the world. We don't even have to search for God's will for that. We already know God's will. And that's exactly what Paul is referring to here. He's saying, ignore the lesser priorities that you already know about. You already know about them in your life. Paul is talking about the will of God, where you and I, in any given day, we need to implement, we need to assimilate, and we need to prioritize those things in our lives. I want you to notice, as you look at verses 15 and 17, that Paul is not so subtly saying, do the right thing now. Do the right thing in your life. Right now, because every day matters and every moment matters. Do the right thing right now in your life. You know, in Psalms, it's interesting. When you look at Psalms, a lot of the Psalms is written by David, but there is a Psalm, Psalm 90 actually, that's written by Moses. I don't know if you knew that or not. That Moses writes a prayer in Psalm 90, and it goes something like this. So teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. And in that psalm, Moses is saying two things that I hope that you'll grab, because I did as I was reading it and studying it and thinking about it in my own life. Moses is saying to number our days. In other words, they're short. Anybody agree with me that life is short? It goes by so fast. It's amazing. I remember when my boys, all four of them, were tiny, and they were just literally ruining my house. And now they're gone, and now I got grandkids, and we're back at it. I mean, now they're ruining our house. It's unbelievable, right? I mean, they run around and make messes and throw things, and it's a lot of fun, but it's incredible when you think about life. It goes by so fast. And Moses is saying, help us to number our days. Moses is saying, help me to focus on today, because today is all you have. We have no idea whether we're going to get it tomorrow. We do know we had it yesterday. Focus on today. And so Moses is saying life is short. Secondly, he's saying that when you and I use a heart of wisdom, or rather, when you and I understand God's will in our life, because it's pretty clear in so many ways, that when you live out God's will every moment of every day, you have a much fuller life. Life is much better. Life makes more sense. You enjoy it more. There's more peace in your life. Let me say it this way. You may want to jot this one down. See, we don't spend time as followers of Jesus. We manage it. We manage our time. This Friday, on Friday night, my wife and I, we decided to meet my son and daughter-in-law who live in Indianapolis. And we called them, and we're trying to get, you know, on a regular schedule because we love them so much, and they're pretty close, actually. And so I said, well, I'll drive an hour. You drive an hour. And he said, yeah, let's do that. Let's meet at a pizza place. He said, it's really been, it's been called the best pizza in the state of Indiana. I'm like, come on. The whole state of Indiana? Richmond? Have you been there? So we met. It's pretty good pizza. I'm not going to lie. It's pretty good pizza, you know. But what we did is we didn't spend time with our son. We actually managed that. We placed that in our schedule because it was important. It was significant. It was priority for us. Moses, in his prayer, and I would argue that Paul, in Ephesians chapter 5, is telling us that you don't spend time. You manage it. You manage it. Let me say it another way. Would you agree with me if I told you that either you control your time or your time will control you? Isn't it amazing how your calendar and your schedule, all of a sudden, if you don't manage it, it just gets on top of you and you feel like you're chasing the schedule rather than you as a person looking at your time and saying, I want to do everything I can. As Paul would suggest, we need to ignore the lesser priorities and make sure the priorities of our lives end up in any given day when regards to our time. You know, when you talk to somebody who's relatively new that you don't really know, you'll meet somebody on an airplane or perhaps you're at a store and you bump into somebody. Usually when you meet somebody and you don't really know them, you start off with two basic questions. Questions that go something like this. So, what do you do? Or if you know them a little bit and you've kind of gotten to know them, you'll ask, well, how are you doing? And usually the answer is busy. Have you ever heard that before? I'm busy. In fact, most of us, even here and all of our campuses, would probably say, when you look at last week, yeah, it was busy. I think the word busy gets a bad rap. Hear me out on this. Because I think busy people get a lot of things done. I love to be around busy people because busy people usually get a lot done. The problem with busyness is that if we're not careful, busyness pushes out that which should be priority. And Paul is saying we need to ignore the lesser priorities and make sure they're part of the word busy. Nothing wrong with being busy. The question is, in your busyness, are you prioritizing the things that are important to you? Jesus says it this way in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6. He says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things will be added to you. Jesus is saying, what we need to do is prioritize our relationship with God. That's the kingdom that he's talking about here. We need to seek that first, that as you look at your time, you ought to be asking yourself, am I putting into my time every day, because every moment matters and every day matters, that we should be prioritizing our relationship with God. And interestingly enough, Jesus is saying that when you do that, it feels like your life is fuller and better and richer and much more peace and joy. I think Jesus is saying this, that not all things carry equal importance. Would you agree with that, church? Not all things carry equal importance. And so we need to be thinking about this in our lives. In fact, let me challenge you to one thing. One piece of homework, perhaps it would be helpful for you, is I've already started the process because I've been thinking about this a little bit longer. What would it be like if you took an audit of your time? Take a look at what you do in the course of a day, in the course of a week, and ask yourself, are there things in your week, in your time, that are not there and they've been pushed out? And are there things that are of lesser priorities, which we should ignore so that we can pull them out and place that which is priority for us? Because Jesus says that not all things carry the same equal importance. And he's also saying that when you align your priorities with God, watch this, when you align your priorities with God, you gain more life. Every day is better because every day matters. So on this first piece of advice that Paul gives to us in terms of we should ignore the lesser priorities, let me ask you a question, and let's just let this question linger for a little bit in our minds and hearts. What do you need to do? Church family, listen carefully. What do you need to do to stop making, what do you need to stop doing right now to make room for a priority? Is there something in your time, in the course of your day, that you just need to stop doing in order to make time for that which is priority in your life? That if you do an audit of your life and you're like, you know, that I need to do something about that. Have you ever said to yourself, don't raise your hand, have you ever said to yourself, I need to make a change? And it doesn't happen. Part of that is not because you and I are ignorant to the fact that we should make the change. Part of it is the fact that we go through the week and we just walk through motions and we just get caught up in the trap of normal life and we just can't find room to actually make the change. Paul says we need to ignore the lesser priorities. Look at verse 15. Let's go back to verse 15, Ephesians chapter 5. He says this, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise." I would argue that this does not come natural to most of us, that we don't naturally do an audit of our time. We don't naturally ask ourselves at the end of the day, did the things that I gave my time to, were they wise or unwise? We don't naturally do that. See, we don't naturally, as Paul is saying, stay alert. That's the second piece of advice that Paul gives us, that you should stay alert. Stay alert about your day. Stay alert about your time. Stay alert about the moment. That, believe it or not, there may be divine appointments, if you will, that God gives you in the course of a day that you didn't know were coming. But you and I need to stay alert in our lives, that every moment matters. The problem is we don't normally do that. We're not normally in the course of a day thinking to ourselves, I need to stay alert. I need to stay alert about the priorities of the things that are important. I need to stay alert. Unless, of course, you have a conflict. Unless, of course, you have crisis or trouble or you're crunched for time or you find yourself very stressed. Otherwise, we don't normally stay alert. And here's why. Let me tell you why. Because most of us tend to settle into routines, as I mentioned, and we fall back on familiar things. Let me give you an example. As I was on my way to Indianapolis, excited to see my son and my daughter-in-law, and we're gonna have dinner together, all that. It was really exciting. This massive 18-wheeler literally cut me off. Has anybody ever cut you off in traffic? Yeah. It's really interesting, the responses that naturally just come, right? They just like, you don't have to practice them. You don't have to go to school for that or go to a class. In fact, no parent needs to tell their child. It just comes forward, right? And so like, I've been thinking this for a little while. I've been thinking about these verses for weeks, actually. And it was really interesting. This truck cut me off and I thought, oh boy. Immediately in that moment, I'm thinking, I need to stay alert to my responses because my responses are probably not what I want them to be, and I'm sure you would be the same way, right? And then I got thinking, you know, these poor 18-wheelers, they drive all day for many nights, and I don't know, we may have some truck drivers here. Man, can you imagine how many times the truck drivers get, you know, they get pulled over and they get problems and people cut them off, and but that's not what I was thinking, actually, when he cut me off. Our natural responses don't normally come. We tend to respond emotionally in the moment. When Paul uses the word wisdom here, look at verse 15. When he uses the word wisdom, Paul is not referring to more intellect. He's not saying you just need to get smarter. That might be true, but that's not going to help you. Paul is not referring to wisdom when he talks about knowledge, that somehow you need to study more, that somehow if you just read more of the Bible every day, reading more of the Bible is probably good, but he's not talking about that kind of wisdom. When Paul refers to wisdom, he's not talking about maturity, although I know what you know, and that the older you get, the more mature you might be in terms of your responses. This might be the best thing that you'll hear today with regard to when it comes to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 17. When we talk about responses and we talk about walking in wisdom, listen to this. What Paul is saying is that when you walk in step with the Spirit of God inside of you, that the wisdom that you have from God becomes our response. That you and I can stay alert to the point that every moment we can say, God, help me to respond right. God, help me in my response. Help me, Lord, as that person said this. Help me in my marriage. Help me in my relationships. Help me at work. God, would you be the wisdom for me in the way I respond? That's what Paul is getting at here. And it's brilliant that you and I need to ignore lesser priorities and we should stay alert in our lives. Solomon, who wrote much of Proverbs, gives two metaphors. Let me show them to you. In Proverbs chapter 6, he uses the metaphor of an ant. He says this, go to the ant. In other words, take a look at the ant and study the ant for a little bit. Go to the ant, you sluggard, or those of you that aren't responding correctly. and consider her ways and be wise. Without having a chief or an officer or a ruler, she prepares her bread in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest, getting prepared for the winter. Solomon is using a metaphor of an ant and saying, the ant is prepared and the ant is aware. And of course, what he's saying is, you should do the same. That you and I should stay alert in any given moment because we have the Spirit of God inside of us. Let's ignore lesser priorities, but let's stay alert because that's important. Then he uses a second metaphor. That's a metaphor of a farmer in Proverbs chapter 24. It goes like this. I passed by a field of a sluggard, somebody who's not thinking through their life and not processing the moment. I passed by this field, by a vineyard of a man lacking sense. I love that. And behold, it was all overgrown with thorns, and the ground was covered with nettles, and its stone was broken down. Solomon is using the metaphor of a farmer and saying, you know, if you procrastinate on doing the right thing, it adds up. When you and I procrastinate on doing the right things, it becomes evident over a period of time because every moment matters. Every moment. See, time slips away, church. Time slips away when we're lazy, when we're distracted, and when we procrastinate. I don't think I'm telling you something you don't already know. But when we look at our lives and we're going to be doing an audit and you think about every moment, your time matters. It might be that you and I are not lazy in terms of doing things. We might be lazy in our responses. They were not alert and it just comes out. And you're like, oh man, I wish I had that moment back. Ever say that? Boy, I wish I didn't say that. Man, I wish I could delete that. I wish I didn't hit the return button. I wish that on social media there was an edit like 2 days later. Lazy. When it comes to distraction, there's so many distractions that happen in our life that sometimes we allow that to come in and all of a sudden priorities are pushed out or procrastination. See, Paul is suggesting, ready for this? Paul is suggesting that one of the greatest differences between the world and us as followers of Jesus might be in a moment. A moment. That in one moment, one response, one word, you and I can live differently than the world around. That somebody might be so surprised and be like, wow, I didn't see that coming. Because we respond in a way that is honoring to God is just that important. Paul goes on, take a look at verse 15 again. He gives us more insight and more wisdom. He says, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of time. That you and I should make the best use of our time. Paul is saying, remember that time is limited. Now, we all know that. I mean, how many of you know that life is really short? Am I right? It's incredible. As I think about my four boys when they were this tall and now they're adults and now they've got kids, it's poetic justice, by the way. But it's amazing to see that time has gone by and it's just so fast. It happens so fast. I'm not telling you something that you don't already know, but Paul is reminding us that time is short. Remember that time is limited. I love what David says in Psalm. This is a Psalm that David wrote, actually. It's in Psalm 39. I'm going to put it on screen for you. Here's what David says. Oh Lord, make me know my end. And what is the measure of my days? Let me know how fleeting I am. Behold, you have made my days a few handbreadths. In the original language, it says a few inches. And my lifetime is as nothing before you. David is saying that your life and my life, it's about 2 inches. Not very long. In fact, I don't know about you, but I was really fascinated by some of the pictures that were coming from Artemis II. Anybody seen those pictures? Are these astronauts? I could never be an astronaut. I'm afraid of heights. They traveled 260-some-thousand miles off of Earth. That's really high. That's really high. And I want to show you a picture of how small your life and mine really is. Take a look at this picture. That's the little rock that you and I live on. Looks like a sliver, a thumbnail, if you will. and how massive the galaxy is, and there's probably, I don't know, 100 galaxies, who knows? I don't know much about science and the stars and all those, but here's what I do know, that when you see a picture like this, you're reminded of the infinitesimally small life that we have. Here's what's amazing to me, that our life being about 2 inches, according to David, is significant because God knows your name. He cares about you. He knows what you're feeling. He knows what you're going through. He knows the pain or the joy that you might be experiencing in your life in this very moment. God of the universe knows us, and yet we are so small. Wow. It's amazing when David writes this. James says in James chapter 4 in the New Testament, do you not know tomorrow will bring what tomorrow will bring? What is your life? So he's asking a question. Then he answers it. You are nothing but a mist. A vapor. It appears for a little while, and the sun hits it, and boom, it's gone. I mean, it vanishes. It burns away quickly with the sun, and there's nothing left behind. When you see a vapor, it's like, and there's nothing behind it. You can't see it. Wow. And yet, isn't it interesting how you go through a day, and sometimes, if you're honest, church, help me out here, that sometimes we go through a day and it feels like it's endless because we're dealing with pain, or we're dealing with crisis, or we're dealing with kids, or we're dealing with our friends who are in pain. It seems endless. And yet the Bible reminds us that our lives are so short that today matters. Now, listen carefully, church. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm not trying to in some way, you know, place some idea in your mind where you just go home depressed, like, wow, that was really fun. It should motivate us because every day matters. And we need to remember that life is so limited. See, there's marbles here. And I did some math, and unfortunately, you're probably going to do some math with me here today, but did you know that if the average length of life for any person is 80 years, what we know is for men, the average is maybe a little bit less than that, and ladies, you get a little bit more. So ladies, you're going to outlive most of us. But let's just say for the sake of conversation today, because we need to remember that life is limited, that if the average age of an individual is 80 years, and one marble here represents a week, 1 week. So 7 days, went by pretty fast, didn't it? 1 week, you get 4,160 weeks in 80 years. Here's something that was really interesting to me as I was doing some math. These are all the marbles I have left. 936. Now, what you're trying to do right now is probably do the math. You're trying to figure out how old I am. Stop it. Do your own life. I've got 936 marbles left. So this is real for me. It's real for you. We get 4,160. I've got 936. Interestingly enough, if you're a parent and you have a child in your home, between the time that they're born to the time that they leave at 18, you get 936 marbles. Spend them wisely. Spend them wisely. Is it any wonder why the Bible tells us that every moment matters? Is it any wonder why Paul here in Ephesians chapter 5 is telling us what he's referring to here is don't be overconfident with your plans. You should make plans. Nothing wrong with planning. I'm a planner. I love to plan. But don't be overconfident with your plans. How many of you know that sometimes God allows things in our lives that are very, very confusing? And as God allows those things in our life, we have to remember that oftentimes God has a plan to remind us that this world is not our home. We have 4,160 weeks. I don't know how many marbles you can add to eternity. That's a lot. That's a lot of marbles. We're going to spend eternity with him. And so let's not be overconfident with our plans. Let's make them, but don't be overconfident, because as God allows things in our mind, in our lives, it's because he wants to remind us that this world is not our home. See, living wisely means focusing on the present moment. We need to focus on now. We need to make changes now. We need to think about our lives now. We ought to make an audit of our time now, because every moment matters. Every day matters. Well, there's one more piece here, because I want you to notice that as we're thinking about the fact that time is limited, and when Paul says that, you know, these days are evil, as I mentioned to you, and as he mentions that we should make the best of our time, catch this, because this may be the second best thing you'll hear today in terms of Ephesians chapter 5. When Paul says make the best use of our time, Paul is not saying squeeze out everything you can. That's not what he's saying. What he's saying is live holy lives. And life will seem really long. Live holy lives. That's what he means when he says it here. Live holy lives. And then he says, because the days are evil. What Paul is saying here is we need to guard against evil. That's the last thing he says here in these three verses. We should guard against evil. Let me put it in words that maybe you and I can understand. Don't waste your time on sin. Don't waste your time. Your days will be long, and they won't seem like they matter, and it will be hard, and don't waste your time on sin. That's why Paul says, verse 17, therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do you realize that we'll never get today back again? You'll never get it back. This is it. We get today. And so these are really important things for us to think about, because the best use of our time is doing what pleases God. Every day, as long as it's today, Paul says, don't let sin destroy the moment. Don't let the enemy destroy the day. Don't let all of that into your time, because it ruins it. He gives us a game plan. Let me put it up on screen for you. Here it is. Ignore the lesser priorities. Stay alert. Remember that time is limited, and guard against evil. Why? Because the Bible's pretty clear that you and I should use our time with purpose, with eternity in mind, and not only with eternity in mind, but to keep God at the center of every moment. See, a prayer that you and I might want to pray today is, Lord, help me not to waste my time. Would you just bow with me in all of our campuses right now, and just, would you just for a minute, maybe God's gonna tap you on the shoulder about something that you need to kick out of your day, something about your time where your priorities have gotten a little bit mixed up, or maybe that you wanna make a change in some area and you've been putting it off and putting it off and putting it off. Today is the day. This moment is the moment, because every moment matters. Father, I pray that you'd be with us today. Thank you for these three short verses that are power-packed with practical application for our lives to help us, Lord, to live each and every moment. We thank you, Father, that the reality is you've given us this life. And we thank you, Lord, for what you've allowed. Sometimes it's hard. But Lord, we just ask today that as we do an audit of our time, as we think about our day, as we reflect on the fact that every day when we wake up, we want to stay alert. We want to guard against evil. We want to live holy lives. Help us to do that. Each one of us, and as a church, we pray these things in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen.